I was talking with a friend and she was saying, like, do you ever, like, when you're reading like an argument scene or a fight scene in a book, you just like start to read faster because you want to know what's going to happen? I was like, oh yeah, all the time.
Yes, every time. Every time.
Exactly.
And like, you don't even realize that like your energy is getting like faster.
Right. Not at all.
Like you're like holding your breath and you're like, it's so funny.
Hey, you listeners, welcome back to yet another amazing episode of Try Reading. I'm your host, Gabriel, but you already know that, and you're probably itching to hear from today's guest. Well, you're in luck because I'm looking at her right now, and I'm just so excited. Please welcome author, spiritual and soul coach, energy worker, and intuitive medium, and plant connector, Raquel Cohen. How are you doing, Raquel?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here today, Gabriel. I'm even better looking at this amazing like book zone you've created. It's so inspiring.
Thank you. You're too kind. Oh my gosh. I am just so excited to be here. And this day has already just gotten better talking with you. And I'm just so excited to learn more about just your part of the book world and your books and writing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, for the listeners who don't know who Raquel is, you should, because she is just too amazing. Through the use of intentional and creative engagement with nature and spirit, Raquel connects her clients with their own infinite souls. Raquel is the creator and owner of Infinite Succulent, a spiritual coaching, energy work, and plant styling wellness boutique. Her spiritual sessions, botanical workshops, presentations, writings, and artistic creations highlight nature's therapeutic gifts along with ecological sustainability. Raquel believes that nature has the power to heal our wounded spirits. After a traumatic experience with anxiety and depression, she discovered that creating living planted art soothed and comforted her racing mind and aching heart. Her creative relationship with plants and nature plays a vital role in her healing journey, continually inspiring her to transcend decades of negative thinking. Raquel's spiritual coaching services focus on cultivating your intuitive gifts and learning to balance energy. Her spirit and energy sessions are tailored to your unique needs and often include mediumship connections and activations. Her plant art, coaching, and styling services are all crafted with love and care for Mother Earth. Raquel is also the author of Infinite Succulent, Living Art to Keep or Share, and Everyday Plant Magic, Change Your Life Through the Magical Energy of Nature, both of which are wonderful books. I am just so honored to have you here today, and I cannot wait to learn more about you, your writing, the plant world, and how you merged both writing and plants into your life.
Oh my goodness, thank you for sharing all of that.
Of course.
Hear someone else read about your bios, like, oh, wow, yeah, that is me.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, yeah. And it's just so amazing. And it was so just cool. All of the wonderful vocabulary and everything. I just loved reading it and looking it over before today. But I do have to ask, what is your current read, or maybe you currently read or recently read something that you'd love to shout out?
Okay, so I'm always reading like lots of things. I'm one of those people who tends to read two or three books at a time. So right now I'm reading a book called Simply Be, which is all about authentic branding. I'm kind of going through a little bit of a rebrand in my business. So it's a book that's helping me kind of get into those places within. So it's called Simply Be, authentic branding yourself kind of thing. I'm also reading this book called Finding the Mother Tree by Susan Simard, which is all about this forest ecologist in Canada. She basically discovered a lot about the mycelium network and how trees actually support each other. It's not just competition out there in the forest, which ecologists thought for a really long time.
Wow.
That there are trees that actually support and help other trees, mainly through the mycelium network. So I'm reading that book right now as well, and it's very good.
Wow, those both sound really wonderful. And the second book, that's just so cool that they support each other. And and obviously every tree and it's just so unique and beautiful, but to hear that, it's just so cool. And
actually the whole concept of the mother tree and knowing that trees are not competing with each other, but actually supporting and helping each other is a concept I bring up in my third book, which I just finished. I just turned in. I'll be going into editing soon. That will be coming out in April. We can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
But this knowledge of the mother tree and learning to connect with the energy of mother tree is something I share in this third book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. Well, that makes me very excited. And I can't wait to hear more about it. I have just a couple honorable mentions from previous guests. The first is on September 26th, If I Have to Be Haunted by Miranda Sun Releases. It's her debut novel, and it is a YA contemporary fantasy with romance and magic and ghosts, and it is just the perfect book for fall and spooky season, so don't miss out. And another book perfect for spooky season is releasing on September 28th, and that is Nelson and McIlwraith by Kay Sterling. It is the first book in her newest series, and it's a romantic thriller full of witchy and spooky vibes, but also full of love in usual Kay Sterling fashion. On October 3rd, The Spells We Cast by Jason June releases. It is a queer fantasy romance full of spell slinging, lasso swinging, and star-crossed lovers, and I cannot wait. And last but not least, also on October 3rd, is Spy School Goes North by Stuart Gibbs, which is the next installment in the amazingly exciting Spy School series. So, listeners, if any of those releases sound interesting to you, you should definitely check them out. Many of these books are full of magic and so perfect for just the fall and Halloween and all of these wonderful cozy vibes. But I'm excited for so many of those. So definitely check them out.
Yes, I will take note of that because my almost 12-year-old daughter loves like magic books and YA. So, and in fact, that reminds me, I've actually in the last few months rekindled my love for fantasy and like fantasy novels, because for a long time I like kind of stopped reading novels for a while, and now I'm like I like novels. So I've been reading more novels again. I've been getting into fantasy, and so that's been really fun. So you reminded me of that as well.
Oh, well, wonderful. Yeah, it is such a fun genre and a genre full of escapism and just like taking you on a journey. So it's so exciting. And that's so wonderful to hear that you've rekindled that love for it and enjoyment.
Yeah. And I think also, like, yes, the escapism, 100%, especially in a world that sometimes makes us feel like there's no magic left, right? But I think sometimes fantasy is also really great because it does help us also see the magic that's still in our world too. You know, the magic of the mundane, it allows us to kind of have this mirror to what our reality is and allow ourselves to bring some of that energy of the magic into our daily lives too, which I think is really important, especially right here and now.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, it is so true. And just helping look for that magic. Yeah, because yeah, it is so important. So,
And that's what everyday plant magic is all about, is about learning to open yourself up to the magic that is this world that is available to us. So, perfect
Yeah,
segue
absolutely. Well,
too.
I mean, that really is. I mean, in terms of books and reading, I mean, I know you were just mentioning how you sort of got back into fantasy reading, and for a while you weren't reading novels, but have you always loved books and reading?
Yes, I am an avid reader. Like, my husband laughs at me because I'm literally constant, as I mentioned, I'm always reading like two or three books. I've been like that since I was young. And it's interesting because I actually struggled learning to read. My parents actually took me out of the school I was in and put me into a new school in second grade because they felt like the school wasn't doing a good job of teaching me how to read. So in kindergarten and first grade, I was really struggling through the like See Jane Run books, you know, and there's like phonetic, like very like the, I guess it's phonetic reading when you're like learning to sound out each sound to it. And that just didn't work for me. So my parents switched my school. And in second grade, I went to this teacher who just knew that I was a sight reader, who just knew that I look at whole words and not individual letters. And I went from struggling to like immediately going into these chapter books. And I just started like inhaling books. And I have never stopped since. I am such a reader. Like when we were visiting our family on the East Coast a few weeks ago, we were there for 10 days and I read four books in 10 days.
Oh
Four
my
books.
gosh.
Yeah. So if I'm into the story, I will do nothing but read.
And oh my gosh, well, that's the clear sign of a reader
Yeah.
and someone who loves books. And also just that sort of like realization of like you were saying, like not just the letter sounding, but like looking at the full words and
Yeah.
just taking it all in. Because not everybody reads the same way or learns in the
Right.
same way. So,
Exactly. And sometimes I have to slow myself down because I'm a very fast reader because of that. Like, I don't read at this point in time, I'm not reading word by word. I'm reading sentences at a time. And that can be really great when you're like trying to read quickly, but sometimes, especially when I'm really into a book and I'm like, what's gonna
Yeah,
happen? And I'm just
right.
reading so fast, I'm like, wait a second, slow down, like really take this in. You're like
Right.
jumping ahead, you know? You know that feeling when
Yeah.
you're
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I just need to see what's gonna
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
happen.
Totally. I was talking with a friend and she was saying, like, do you ever, like, when you're reading, like, an argument scene or a fight scene in a book, you just, like, start to read faster because you want to know what's going to happen? I was like, oh, yeah, all the
Yes.
time.
Yes. Every time. Every time.
Exactly.
And like you don't even realize that like your energy is getting like
Right.
faster.
Not
You're
at all.
like you're like holding your breath and you're like it's so
Yeah.
funny.
It really is. Yeah. Well, have you always wanted to publish a book?
You know, that's a really good question because for a while, no. You know, I think for a while there, a lot of my writing was used in my work as an environmental educator. I wrote curriculum pieces, and I was really happy with that. I was doing this one curriculum around wetlands, and part of the curriculum was writing a little story about a fiddler crab. And I wrote this short little story about this fiddler crab that was a fun story, but also talked about like the life cycle and ecology of the fiddler crab. And I remember when I was writing that, I was like, ooh, this is really fun. Like, I think I have books in me.
Right.
But my first book, Infinite Succulent, which is a succulent craft book, that book literally fell into my lap. Like, I wasn't at that time trying to write a book. I wasn't researching book proposals. I wasn't sending things out. I was just having fun making art with succulents and sharing that online. And it just so happened an editor in New York for a small publishing house with that they were interested in having a succulent book. She found my Instagram. She liked what I created, thought I had a unique voice, and literally wrote me an email and was like, hey, we're looking for a succulent craft book. Are you interested in writing it? Here's how you write a proposal. Can you get it to us in a month? And that's how my first book got
Oh,
to me.
wow.
Right. But then between my first and second book, as I was writing my first book, my idea for my second book, which is the book that turned into Everyday Plant Magic, really kind of got conceptualized. Yeah. And I really wanted to write the second book. And it was definitely a bit more of a challenge to get my second book published as opposed to my first, which kind of fell into my lap. I ended up working with a different publishing house for my second book. And that was quite a hero's journey to go from that first book to the second book. And it was interesting because when I had that desire, when I was finally like, okay, I really want to write a book and this is the book, it got harder for me to do it. I was getting a lot of rejection. It took 2 years for that book deal to finally manifest. Whereas when I had like no desire for it, it just kind of fell into my lap.
Right.
And now with my third book, I'm working with the same publishing house who published Everyday Plant Magic. And this third book, it was kind of like my first. I didn't even have to write the proposal. My editor came to me and was like, we really want to have a book on this topic. We think you're the person to write it. Let's sit down and talk about an outline. And she, you know, I made the outline, she made the proposal, and that book is now in for editing. So
Wow. Oh my gosh.
yeah, so it's a journey, and whatever journey you go on your book publishing, everyone who's listening, whatever journey you go on for your book publication, it's the right journey for you. Please
Yeah.
trust it. Trust it because the process of both writing and publishing a book is so powerful for self-development. Like
Yeah.
it makes you learn so much about yourself and so much about your mission, and it's a valuable, valuable lesson. So wherever you're at, please embrace it and know that it is exactly the right place for you to be.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's
Yeah.
so wonderful. And just the difference in your experience from even just book one and two of like it being offered and then finding a story that you really want to write. And but both those stories being able to publish those books. And yeah, that's wow, I did not know that. And that's such an that must have just also been very exciting too.
It was the way Everyday Plant Magic came about was very magical in its own right. So that to me speaks so much about the energy of the book itself. I look at each book as having its own personality. It's its own entity, right? That's one of the things my writing coach really helped me understand. It's like the book has its own personality. It's got its own little thing.
Right.
And when you can kind of get out of the way and just be the person who helps that come forth, as opposed to like the book is me, right? Like
Right.
what's been interesting for me is every book I've written so far has been a picture of a moment in time for me, a picture of my own journey, my own experiences, which I think is how most of the best writing is done, is through our own experience, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been very magical, very interesting, and I love that. For everyday plant magic in the back of the book, in the acknowledgments, I actually thank the rejection. I thank the years of rejection I had, because in the time that I had all that rejection, I was developing my own skills as an energy worker, as an intuitive, and I ended up utilizing those skills in everyday plant magic. And I never would have been able to do that if I had gotten the okay for the book that became Everyday Plant Magic 2 years earlier. It would have been a very
Wow.
different book. So you kind of have to trust that journey. And Everyday Plant Magic became the book it was always meant to be. And the universe knew way better than me what that book was supposed to be.
Right.
And so I was just taught to get on the trust journey.
Yeah. Right.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I love that. And, obviously at that point when they reached out to you for Infinite Succulent in terms of writing that book, you already had a love for plants and obviously were sharing that through social media. And but what was your beginning to plants, or how did you fall in love with just the magic of it and the creativity?
Yeah, so I'll try and keep this brief because it can be kind of a long story. So my background is in environmental education. I have a bachelor's in sociology and ecology. I have a master's in marine biodiversity and conservation. And I've known ever since I was ever, really, honestly, I've always known my whole life that I am here to connect people with nature. And for a long time, that was through working at zoos and aquariums, actually teaching people about animals and habitats. And plants were kind of like the background. They were kind of like the food and the background, but I didn't necessarily have as much of a relationship with them as I did with the animals I was working with at that time. The animals were kind of like where a lot of my connection came in. And every time I tried to like keep a house plant alive because I like the way they look, I couldn't. Like, I literally was totally a black thumb. I was very good at killing house plants at that point in my life. And it wasn't until I became pregnant and a mother that I was able to really kind of slow down and learn how to take care of plants, listen to their subtle communication, learn by looking at them what they need and provide that for them. And when my second daughter was about 10 months old, I had my second experience with pretty bad anxiety. My first time having bad anxiety, especially what we call eco-anxiety, which is anxiety and depression and existential dread related to the environment and climate change and all of that. My first experience with that was when I was getting my master's in marine biodiversity and conservation. I just really fell into a lot of anxiety as I was learning the scope of the problems. And it was very much doom and gloom
Of
focused, the
course.
program I was in. So I had some bad anxiety with that. But when my second daughter was born back in 20, she was, it was 2013. So it was around 2014 where the anxiety started coming back really badly, like just couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't think, just these ruminating thoughts. Was really struggling to take care of myself, take care of my kids. I went back to therapy and I got on some anti-anxiety meds. But thankfully, my therapist was also someone who was a creative and energy worker on the side. And she saw in me that I was very stuck creatively. So she recommended this beautiful book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. If you've not heard of it, it's a great book. If you ever feel blocked or stuck in any area in your life, I highly recommend it. And that book really inspired me to start journaling, start getting the stuff in my mind out of my head onto the page. And then from there, I felt really inspired to start making little pieces of art with clipped succulents from my garden. It was just this urge. Like
Yeah.
I just wanted to make something. I wanted to create. And so during my kids' afternoon naps, I would clip some succulents. I would find some cool bowls or jars or vases, collect some cool stones and twigs, and I would just create these little terrariums during the afternoon when my kids were napping. Instead of doing my to-do list and all my chores, I would just make art. And very quickly, I realized that when I was in that place of working with the plants, of creating with them, of creating these little mini habitats, I wasn't anxious. I wasn't scared. My mind wasn't really thinking at me at all. It was quiet. It was present. In fact, it felt like going from a in the head to like a like
Yeah.
it just was like this mindfulness, this presence that actually allowed me to feel into how well I am, right? Like everything's good right now. We're healthy. We're blessed. Everything's okay, right? And
Yeah.
that's really when the plants started working their magic on me, was through my own emotional need, my own emotional pain. That's where the plants really started coming in. So very quickly, I had created lots of succulent art because it just brought me so much joy. It brought me so much peace. It brought me so much presence and purpose. And at the time, Instagram was just starting to kind of become a thing. So I started to make a, you know, an Instagram handle, just like I just wanted an Instagram thing just for my succulent art.
Yeah.
And the succulent art was a big thing, and there was a whole community there. So I was starting to learn from other people. I was learning about different types of succulents. How do you put them together in these beautiful arrangements? How do you take care of them? And it just started to grow and grow from there. And because I am a teacher by nature, one of my friends was like, "You love making this art so much. Why don't you do workshops? Why don't you teach other people how to make this art?" So for the first few years of Infinite Succulent, that's what I did. I did workshops all over San Diego, teaching people how to make art with succulents, how to clip them, how to make, you know, things like succulent crown pumpkins, to wreaths, to terrariums, to driftwood succulents, and then also how do you take them apart, replant them. The reason I call it infinite succulents is because succulents have this infinite nature. They are so resilient, they are so creative. They actually want to be clipped and made into art because they just keep regrowing from there. So they themselves have this very infinite nature, with their creative energy, which is how the name for Infinite Succulent even came forward. So that's where it started. And I found some crystals at a thrift store to plant into, because my favorite thing at that time was to go to the thrift stores and find really weird, wacky things to plant
Right.
succulents into, because you can plant a succulent into pretty much anything,
Right.
which is what Infinite Succulents is kind of all about. That my first book. So I found these crystals that had holes drilled in them, and I was, of course, I can plant a succulent in that. So I brought them home, I planted succulents in them, and I noticed that when I was working with the crystals and planting the plants into the crystals, I started to feel like in up my hand and into my arm vibrations of energy from the plant itself. And I noticed that one of the things I like to do when I was working with succulents is, as I was planting them, making arrangements, making art, if their roots were very dry, I'd have a little bowl of water on the side. So I'd give them a nice drink before I would replant them. And I started to notice that when I was letting them drink, I could feel in my hand up into my arm when they started taking up the water and when they had enough. And I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it, right? So
Yeah.
that was the first start of the plants really beginning to increase my sensitivity to energy. So working with the plants and crystals together, I was like, whoa, what's happening? I'm like
Right.
feeling vibrations from these plants. And so I got really curious and I started researching the metaphysics of crystals. And I also started researching plants on the nervous system and how plants impact humans physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, because that's what was happening for me. And
Right.
that's what that second book was going to be. That's the book I wanted to write, a book all about how living, working, opening ourselves up to plants helps us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And ultimately, that's what Everyday Plant Magic is. It is that
Wow.
book.
Well, it's, I mean, just in general, and obviously you know this, but you know, just the mind and energy and just connection is so powerful. And like you were describing too, when you have, you know, a person and then you have plants and then you have crystals and all these different forms of, you know, energy and just bringing them all together. And that's just just so magical and wonderful. And that it's led you on this path of publishing these stories and continuing your work with plants. And yeah, so I really loved that. And I loved hearing all of that. That's so wonderful.
Yeah, and I think for me, seeing the big change that plants were having on my energy, helping me move away from spaces of anxiety, helping me move away from places of perfectionism, of worry and fear. I was like, you know what? I really believe that this can help other people too. And I just felt this urge to kind of take what I was learning with the plants and the stones and the crystals and bring that to others. So I got certified as a crystal energy worker, started to learn more about pranic healing and Reiki and energy transformation. And as I was working with clients and friends with that, I just started noticing that interesting things were happening for me. Like I would hear things as I was working on someone. I would see something behind my closed eye. And so my intuition was really starting to cultivate and grow and develop as I just allowed myself to work more with energy. And then over 2020, I started taking some online courses on intuitive development and discovered that I'm actually very intuitive and I'm also a medium, which is not something I knew at all before I started doing this work. And what's been really fun about that is I'm able to talk to my plants, talk to the trees. And for everyday plant magic, I used that skill when I was writing the plant profiles for each plant, where, I do research on the plant in terms of their medicinal uses, their magical uses over time. But then I would sit in meditation with each plant and ask the plant, what do you want people to know? What's your message? And that is with every plant and everyday plant magic, I was able to do that. And so that is something, again, where I feel really grateful for that rejection I had because it allowed me to become the person who could write from the plant's perspective, which is not something I would have been able to do before.
Right. Well, of course. I mean, everything happens for a reason too. So it just, like you were saying, just that it all worked, and you were able to really, in the end, publish this book that you felt really good about, and
Yeah.
told this information and these stories that you really wanted to tell. So, that's really wonderful. And I know in the beginning you had talked a bit about Infinite Succulent, the book, and for the listeners who don't know, it published in 2019. And in this book, you can take your succulents to the next level with stylish and creative projects, from blue green to purple and pink, flower shaped to squat and spiky or tall and fuzzy. The variety, versatility, and low maintenance care of succulents makes them go-to plants for home gardeners. Here, succulent stylist Raquel Cohen shows that these traits also make succulents the ideal material for living art. Tiny jewel-like succulents can be clipped and replanted in infinite combinations, and unlike cut flowers, they thrive in these arrangements. When planted in corks, they become charming living magnets. When placed in seashells, they are a delightful reminder of a day at the beach. Succulents can also grow nestled in moss, creating an opportunity for even more creativity. Arrange them atop mini pumpkins or adorn a headband or a tiny wreath. In addition to illustrated step-by-step instructions for more than a dozen crafts, Raquel Cohen explains which succulents are best for each project, how to clip and prepare rosettes and leaves, and what to do when the plants outgrow their art pieces. Lush photographs throughout capture the natural beauty of the plants and boundless range of possible creations. I truly love both of your books, and this one was the first one that I had paged through and looked through. And of course, I feel like when you say, and I mean, this would be for me, and obviously, maybe not now at this point, being a reader and loving books, but in the beginning, if you had said, oh, there's an author with books, my mind would go immediately, oh yeah, novels, right? Like this very distinct, like young adult, romance, fantasy, whatever, right? But both of these books are just full of life and magic and creativity. And they're just gonna, I mean, for readers that haven't read them yet, they're gonna open so many doors for readers, and they're just so fabulous and inspirational. And when we had first met you, my mom and I, and she bought Infinite Succulent, I mean, the day after, like, she started creating all these little things. And so now we have pots all around the home with moss and succulents. And she loves doing it, even like for her office. She was like, oh, we needed to fix up this succulent. So she went out back and started clipping. And so it's just so fun because you see like the creativity of it when someone's actually doing it. And so this book is so wonderful. And I know you shared, a little bit about how someone had reached out to you and you had had this established brand already of Infinite Succulent. But knowing that you had a following and you had people that knew what you did at that point, what was the process like after publishing this really wonderful book?
Ooh, great question. First of all, thank you. Thank
Of
you for that. That was
course.
so beautiful. And
Of course.
I love, love, love hearing how people are using the books and people are inspired by them. And one of the things that I love about all of my books so far is there are books that you can come back to at different moments. You don't like it's great book to like read through at first to get it all in, but then you can come back to what you need, right? Like, I want to make a succulent crown pumpkin. We're getting into fall season. Oh, let's thumb through the book and see how to do that. Or,
Yeah.
you know, I'm needing some guidance from the plants and just opening up everyday plant magic and just letting yourself seeing even where the book falls open to see which is the plant that might want to come through for you that day. So that's one of the things I love about my books is that. And what's nice about not having novels sometimes is that it can be a book that someone can pick up for a specific need and then put
Yes.
back down, right? Okay. So your question, what was your question? I'm sorry. What was your
Oh, no,
question?
it's okay. Sort of like, what was the response like
Oh,
after
yes.
publishing?
Yes. Great question. I think for my first book, I put a ton of pressure on myself for the book launch because, I mean, honestly, we don't really know what that is. And some people make a book launch look like it has to be something where you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and go around the country. And I don't want to, I don't have the finances to do that,
Right,
nor the
yeah.
time with kids. So I didn't really know what to expect. And I think I allowed myself to go to a place of putting just a ton of pressure on myself. But ultimately, the book launch was really fun. I did a party, and I had people come to a party where I had some signings and just some treats and, you know, some giveaways. I had a lot of people in the succulent community on Instagram who were kind of people who were like my first readers who I got to send the book to, and then they got to share it with their audience. So it helped build some community as well, being able to share different crafts from it. It was really very fun. So that's really good to remind ourselves of because we can really fall into some of the traps of the pressures of the book launch or the feeling of we have to sell this many books as pre-orders. We have to sell this many. And what's interesting also, when we, especially when we talk about how many books we have to sell, is my experience with working with publishing houses is I never have any idea how many books I'm selling.
Yeah.
Like, I really have no clue. I,
Right.
to this day, I still don't know yet how many books Everyday Plant Magic has sold. Next time I talk with my editor, I will ask her, but I just haven't gotten that information yet. I've been told it's doing great. People are really happy with the sales over here in marketing, which I'm like, great. I just don't know what the number is. I do
Right.
know that Everyday Plant Magic was translated into three other languages,
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm sure that's helping bring the sales. But for me now, when it comes to book launches, I tend to decide like what is my goal here? Like the goal is always to get the book out and let people know about it. But I think another goal is to get, engage people in the content itself. So my goal with book launches now is yes, to get people to know about the book, but also I want to bring them into the book. So what's a challenge we can do? What's something that can inspire people to take this information and really embody it and share it as well. So that's really something I'm working into as I think about my third book launch, which will be in the spring of 2024, is like, can is there a challenge? Is there some way that I can get people to join me in the embodiment of what this book is all about? And with Everyday Plant Magic, I feel like it's been very easy to kind of have people embody it with me because in the beginning of that book, I talk a lot about nature's magic and, you know, working with the energy of the sun and the moon and the seasons and the cycles. And so one of the things I do through my business is I share about the energy of every new moon and full moon. So even there alone, I can bring people back to my book often because I can say, if you're looking for some rituals to do around this new moon or full moon, check out my book. I've got tons of rituals in there using the magic of plants, right? So really trying to figure out how does the book also fit into just who you are and what you offer, if you're a brand like I am, is
Yeah.
important. And it's different, of course, when you're doing a novel. The books I write are more self-development, how-to kind of books. So we want people to engage with that. Whereas I know I do have a novel in me. It's one of my books I'm going to be writing in the future. And that will be have a very different flair to it, for sure.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that because it is so true. Like, just it doesn't need to be this flashy like world tour, and
Yeah.
because also sometimes and in many experiences when it's more intimate and just crafted from the heart, like it feels really good and exciting, and it feels like just this really like full good celebration of
Yeah.
something. And yeah, and I'll be excited, even just to see what you plan to do with book three. And
Yeah. And I mean, it's also a good reminder for Everyday Plant Magic. I ended up doing my launch party over Zoom. I just did a party over Zoom as opposed to like renting a place, and I really enjoyed that because first of all, it allows everyone to have access to you, right? Like
Right.
the internet is a really magical thing that we do have this ability to have this access. And then I also had a lot of smaller book events throughout San Diego, which was more in person, and that felt like a good juxtaposition to like a Zoom celebration of the book and what it's all about, and working people through some of like the magical rituals. And then I had a bunch of live events where I actually got a chance to do that even more and answer questions and things like that. So it was really fun.
Yeah,
Yeah.
well, that's so wonderful. What do you hope your readers will take away from reading any of your books?
When it comes to what I hope people will take away, I think the biggest thing I want people to take away is just our relationship with nature, how healing it can be, how supportive, and a recognition that we are nature and that we belong because we're a part of nature. So it's the sense of just belonging and wellness that is available to us through a very personal relationship with the natural world. In my first book, that's really about doing it through creativity and through art and appreciation. My second book, it's really about opening to the magic of the world that's all around you. And plants are just a really, really great doorway into that. And my third book, which is called Self-Care for Eco-Anxiety, is all about learning how to manage our own emotions through supportive relationships with nature.
Yeah.
So it's all about that relationship with nature and coming
Right.
back to a place of just deservingness, worth, and love through that relationship.
Yeah. And something that's so important for people either to be reminded of or to learn about wherever they are on that process. And yeah, because it is so incredibly important, especially now in the world. And just so, yeah, and I love that just with the way you describe your books, how each of them have a very significant explanation of the plant world and how to, connect your reader with it. But it's in the end, it is just this whole like just connecting with nature and the importance of it and how there's so many ways to do that. So.
Yes. And in my third book, you'll see even more because, yes, there's self-care practices I share that have to do with plants, but there's a lot that don't as well.
Right.
So yeah,
Yeah.
it's really this all-encompassing, like nature is everything. It's all around us, right? And I think
Yeah.
sometimes as in our modern society, it can become very easy for us to say, oh, I'm disconnected, I'm disconnected. But I think that's just a really, I think that's a challenge to our perception more than it is our reality, because each and every one of us is a piece of nature and we cannot disconnect from that which we are. It's just a mindset.
Yeah.
So I feel like my purpose here is to help people change their minds, to remember that they are a part of nature and what that means, how that impacts your life when you really embody that knowing.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's so wonderful to hear, and I loved that. Yeah. I think another question I had, and this is a little more fun, I guess, in terms of just plants in general, but obviously there's different plants all over the world, and there's not the same plants everywhere. But since you live in Southern California, And as someone who also lives there, the variety of plants here is just so wonderful to see. But do you have a favorite Southern California plant?
Oh, that's such a hard question. It's like so when some people ask me, like, what are your favorite crystals? What are your favorite plants? I'm like, oh, what day? It depends on the day and what my needs are, right? So I think first and foremost, my favorite plants for, Southern California would be the succulents. I mean, they're just so varied here and they're so beautiful and they're so creative and they're all these different colors. And I can't just choose one because there are so many different types, right? Whether it's echeveria or cacti or agave or an agave is probably one of my favorite Southern California plants as well. So I would say like anything in the succulent world is probably going to be one of my favorites. And then I was also thinking about trees because I work a lot with trees. And I think one of my fa I, one that keeps popping up in my head as one I'm really enjoying and appreciating right now is the jacaranda. Jacaranda trees, which are, I believe, native to this area, to Mexico, as well as Southern California. And they're just very creative themselves. They're very expressive. They're very flowy, though, but like they have a lot of what I consider yin energy, or this feminine, creative, restorative, kind of flowy kind of energy. And they just inspire me, especially when they've got all that purple going in the spring, when they get all those their purple blooms. And I just think they're so beautiful.
Well, that's so wonderful. I love both of those answers. I mean, succulents, that was such a huge surprise and delight when we did move here from the East Coast, because again, so different, and then seeing them everywhere, and the variety is just so wonderful. But yeah, the jacaranda trees as well.
We're like the hub of succulent. Like here in Southern California is where so many of the succulent growers are for the rest of the country. Not to mention where a lot of different species of succulents have been hybridized. So we're kind of in like the succulent mecca here in like Southern California.
It's so true. And it's in California in general, it's so wonderful to see how, like, you can go from, Southern California, and you have the palm trees, and but then you go north, and then you've sequoias and the redwoods, and just the variety in throughout the state of California is so wonderful. And
Ooh, another favorite tree, avocado. Avocado is another one of my favorite. I mean, obviously for the fruit, but also a lot of people don't realize that avocado leaves have a lot of medicinal benefits as well. But just the avocado tree exudes confidence, and that's just something I really appreciate. And we have two avocado trees in our backyard,
Oh,
so
really?
I love them.
Well, you briefly talked about at different points book three. And is there anything you can or would like to share about book three?
Sure. So the t tentative title right now is, and it's a mouthful, so I got to make sure I say it correctly. So the tentative title is Self-Care for Eco-Anxiety, 52 Weekly Practices for Personal Change Through the Power of Nature. I think I got it right. It's a mouthful. I always have a hard time remembering that second part. And it's a book all about how we can utilize our relationship with nature and our relationship with our own emotional well-being to deal with, manage, even heal our feelings of eco-anxiety, which is existential dread for the future based on environmental destruction. I have a lot of experience with eco-anxiety. It is definitely something that I have lived through and I feel like I have managed at this point in my life. It still comes up from time to time because we're living through it. We're living through changing climate. We're living through volatile times that we're seeing on the planet. But I have so many tools at my disposal now to work through the emotional highs and lows of that. And I really believe that the way forward for all of us in the future that's currently being created is through coming back to a place of love and appreciation with the natural world. I don't think that the decades we've had previously of doom and gloom and fear is actually creating the change that's needed for us to move into the future. I do believe that love and connection will. And Self-Care for Ego Anxiety is a book about that. It's a book about coming back to a place of love for nature, feeling loved by nature in return, and just really connecting ourselves with the power of the earth and the power of our own emotions to create a better situation.
That's so fantastic. And I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. Well, April can't come soon enough. And I'll just be so excited to read it. And just yet another way of just for you as the writer, expressing your passion and admiration and love for nature, and just more ways to learn about it, but to also, like you had said, sort of help with combat eco anxiety for those that need that, and for those that would like the book to help in that way or just be informed. Or it's I'm so excited.
Well, I think our beliefs really matter, and unfortunately I think the way that we've been going, I think a lot of people don't believe that it's possible for things to get better, that we can change. And Self-Care for Eco Anxiety is all about the fact that our beliefs do matter, and that we can change our beliefs to come to a place that things can get better, that things can change, and that we have everything we need to solve these problems already. It's all here. We have everything we need to solve the problems. Now we just need to solve the problems, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So I talk about how this book isn't a book about solving climate change, although a lot of the self-care practices I share are part of what's necessary to combat it. This book is not about reducing your, you know, environmental footprint, although the self-care practices I share will help you do that. This book is really about coming to a transformative place within yourself to come back to love, appreciation, and wellness with the earth, with the world, and believing that we can create something so much better than what we've got right now.
Well, that's fabulous. And it makes me so excited to see, you know, what this book holds and what it will share.
Yeah. Well, you guys, it's your generation, and, you know, even your generation and younger, that unfortunately is going to have to be living through a lot of this. I mean, I'm still going to be here. I'm not that much older than you, but we also recognize, I feel like so much of who I'm writing this book for is my kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and what we know is coming. But I believe that, especially in your generation and the generation younger, you guys know, you already know that things are possible to be different, and you are here for that change. And so thank you.
What you said too, just about having those tools, really resonates of, like, whether it's informing ourselves more or knowing and then just using those tools to do better.
And also our nervous system, you know, letting ourselves feel fear when we're afraid, letting ourselves move through the anger when we're angry, letting ourselves grieve when we feel grief. You know, with the wildfires in Maui, like, I had to grieve for a while from that. I've lived in Hawaii for a few years. It's a very special place to me. Obviously, it was a horrible, horrible tragedy. We're seeing more and more of that. And it's really important that we let ourselves grieve.
Yeah.
Because, you know, grief is an act of love. Grief is love. Grief is proof that love is there. Yeah. And we need to remember our love for Earth, our love for each other. So it's really important that we let ourselves feel what we feel, but not get stuck there. How do we let ourselves feel it in a safe way? And that's a lot of what I talk about in Self-Care for Eco Anxiety.
Yeah. Obviously, you are incredibly passionate about the plant world, nature, and its magic. And you've been able to turn your love for plant magic and the plant world and nature into books and information for readers. So what would be your advice for someone who wants to write a book that teaches people about a passion or interest of theirs?
Oh, what a beautiful question. So the first thing is to really lean into your passion. Just let yourself eat, breathe, drink, live it, you know, let it be the thing that, you know, you wake up for in the morning and that you're thinking about before you fall asleep, and let yourself really just dive into that. And then from there, you want to figure out, okay, well, what's the voice that I'm bringing to this passion? How does this passion want to come through me as the messenger? I always find that it's really helpful to start with the concept, like what's the larger concept, and then create an outline. I'm a very creative, flowy person. So if I don't have an outline, I lose myself. Like, I'm like, what am I saying again?
Right.
Where am I going to? So the first thing is to really own that passion, to figure out what is something unique that I have to say regarding this passion, whatever it might be, and then to kind of create an outline for it. And this kind of goes back to, English class in high school where they teach you how to write a paper, right? Like you got to have your thesis. It's not quite like that, but you do need to figure out like, what am I actually trying to say, and how, what are the proofs I'm bringing to show this, and what are the stories I can tell that match whatever is that I'm trying to share with people, right? So that's where an outline comes into play. And then from there, you can just flow and let yourself write. And when you're writing, especially that first draft, try as hard as you can not to edit as you're writing. Let yourself just flow with the writing. Know that the edits will be there. You'll have time to come back. But I've had many times where I am get stuck on a paragraph because it's just not coming out the way I want, and I'm trying to edit as I'm writing, and that never works. It's always better to just, even if I'm writing 10 sentences when I really just need one, I know that I can come back when I'm more in an editing space and be able to whittle that away. But for right now, I just need to get it out, right? So let it be messy. Just get it out of you, put it on the page, and know that you can come back. And I always think about it as like whittling away. Like I always write a ton, and it's like I write this big old boulder, and then I actually have to come in my edit with my tools and start whittling it away into some kind of sculpture, right?
Yes.
So yeah, that's my advice.
I absolutely love that. And just, yeah, thank you for that stellar advice. It's so wonderful to hear. And Raquel, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on this episode today. It was so beyond magical talking with you today, and I just had the best time.
Gabriel, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here. You ask very interesting, astute questions, and I'm just excited for all your listeners to get a chance to learn from you, learn from me, and just continue to lean into their love of books and reading, because that's going to take us very far in life.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That means so much. And I'm so excited for listeners to hear your stories and all of your information and learn more about your books. And for the listeners, where can they find you?
Yeah, so the best place to find me is on my website, infinitesucculent.com. I'm also pretty active on Instagram and TikTok, not very active anywhere else. Two is enough, to be
Yeah.
honest. So you can always find me there. You can DM me there. I read every message I get and respond to it as well. So it's just me. It's just me. So please reach me. You can reach out to me there. Yeah, and if there's any way that I can be of assistance, that's what I'm here for.
Wonderful. That's amazing. And do you have anything upcoming or current that you want to shout out or promote? I mean, of course, the release of book three.
Yeah, so there's definitely release of book three. I'm not sure exactly when this is going to be airing, but I do have doors open right now for my group coaching program called Intuitive Magic, which is all about helping people connect with and cultivate their intuitive gifts, because my personal belief is that every single one of us is intuitive. We just need to learn how to exercise those muscles, just like we would have to learn to exercise any muscle in our body. And that's what we do at Intuitive Magic. So if anyone out there is interested in learning how to talk to trees and their plants and feel into their intuitive guidance, then Intuitive Magic is definitely the program for you. Doors are open now, and we start on September 13th, and it runs for 10 sessions. We meet weekly for 2 hours over Zoom. It's a really, really fun group coaching activity, or program, really. And what else do I have coming up? Oh, if you're interested in learning about the moon or working with moon cycles, please, please subscribe to my moon blog. It goes out every new moon and every full moon. There's a little newsletter that goes with it, but you can subscribe there. And you can find a video for that on YouTube as well. Yeah, that's the big stuff right now.
That's wonderful. Yes, everyone, definitely go check that out. And thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode of Try Reading. And don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast. And if you'd like, you can write a review or rate the show. You can follow Try Reading on Instagram at Try Reading Podcast and on Threads at the same handle and on the Bird app, Twitter, X, whatever it may be, on Try Reading 2022. As always, you can find this show wherever you get your podcasts and catch new episodes every other Friday. And I'm just now realizing I forgot to mention my current read because I was just so starstruck with Raquel and her the books that she was reading and her just stories. So I will briefly shout out. I mentioned it earlier in the upcoming releases, but it is The Spells We Cast by Jason June, which was the fantasy novel. I received an ARC to read, and it comes out, as I said, on October 3rd. And listeners, it's so wonderful. So I just had to mention that because I don't know how I forgot. But
Would you recommend that one to a sixth grader by chance?
a sixth grader, I wouldn't. I would say a
Okay.
bit older because of the
Okay.
mature content. Yeah.
Got it. Got it. So that's good. I'm glad I asked you.
Yeah.
See?
And back to the regular scheduled. Of course, you can, as I always say, buy books by the Try Reading authors through the bookshop.org link in the Try Reading link tree below. And you already know that includes Raquel's fabulous books. They are the most magical and wonderful books to have, so please check them out. And I just want to thank you again, Raquel, for being here today. You told the most wonderful and inspirational stories, and thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me.
Oh, it was an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.